And we wanted to offer them an opportunity to continue even after the summer left. So we started the English worship service, and we have a little over 20 people coming to that now. And actually, the guy that I've been studying with is a product of that English worship service. So blessings there. I started a youth leaders for those that, you know, like our, work with our youth here, or for those that are interested in working with youth, you know, in different communities in Brazil. I started an event called Ahosha, which is the rock. And it's an opportunity for them to come together, and we share with them things about youth ministry, but more of a time of encouragement, because one of the hardest things about being a ministry is feeling encouraged about what you're doing. And a lot of times, we as youth ministers, Sid, Joe's been there, Mike's been there, and those that have worked within the youth here and other churches know, man, it's hard, because sometimes you don't feel like you're connecting. Because a lot of times it's hard to stay connected with, you know, what kind of music y'all are listening to today, which I have, you know, I bought this Now 31 and I'm just totally lost. I couldn't keep up with it. So I guess I'll continue to be lost on that. But, you know, there's some things that you get discouraged with working with teenagers. And so, you know, I wanted to offer an opportunity for them to come and be a part of that. So that's called Ahosha. Revolution is the next event that I started. And we are doing these about three times a year. So almost every quarter, it's separate events, different weekends. But Revolution is for adolescents and jovens. Then that's basically the college age there is different than the college age here. College age there is, you know, like our regular college age, plus young singles all the way up to 30-something. We've tried to, you know, narrow that down a little bit because it's hard to be able to preach to a 13-year-old and relate to a 30-year-old at the same time. So we provided this youth rally called Revolution for kids. The first one we had 90 kids come. Unheard of. Absolutely unheard of. And you might say, well, that's not that many. But in Brazil, they don't have many. There's not many cars. I think we have, in our parking lot at church, we have about 8 cars for the 80 people that go there. And most of them are from the missionaries. We have 4 missionaries, so 4 of those are missionary cars. Most of the people travel by buses or walk. It's unheard of, I know. But, you know, the walking is, not buses. But, you know, they will travel from great distances, some of them 6 hours, to come to this event. We had one group that came, and we don't have places for them to stay. It's not at a fancy hotel like we'd have. We just have it at the church building. So we try to house some of them that are traveling from great distances that will have a hard time to get back. But saw some great blessings from that. Had several end up getting baptized at their home congregations when they got back to their supporting churches. And so we actually have both an event called The Rock on October 3rd, and then the 24th we have Revolution that's coming up in Brazil right now. One of the things we also have going on is La Mana, which is an orphanage that was started about a year and a half ago. Building is almost complete on that, and we'll start housing kids at the end of October. There are plenty of opportunities for people here at the church to come and be involved with that, whether you have an interest in building, or just going and spending time with kids. That's one of the opportunities. I've been spending some time out there with a guy named Maciel. Maciel is the head of La Mana, and he is, we brought him in from São Paulo to be the director of the orphanage. And he is a great man of God. His wife is actually my Portuguese teacher. She's taught the Portuguese language for over 25 years. And she is absolutely crazy, and so I love her. I can relate very well. We started a Thursday night Bible study because we wanted an opportunity for our kids to start bringing friends in a less, you know, sometimes the church can be a threatening environment, so we wanted to give them a place where they could come and hang out, and we've been going through the book of Luke, and we've had anywhere from, we started off like 5 or 6, and had up in the 20s. And so it's amazing to see. You know, we fix them dinner, you know, some soup at night, and have a Bible study, then have some desserts and coffees afterwards. And it's been a complete blessing to our youth group and our ministry. And they've actually been wondering, I think that's the biggest thing they've been concerned about. You know, some of them ask how my dad is, but, you know, when are you getting back so we can have Thursday nights? We're ready for that to keep going. And I'm just like, sorry. But it's something they look forward to every week to be a part of. We also have our Saturday night outreach. And this is one of the things that's been discouraging as we've tried to go out and reach out to people within the community. There's an open market on Saturday nights that we're going out to, and there were kids all the time there. These kids were homeless. So we'd get to go and play with them, buy them something to eat, get to share with them. And for a few weeks, we'd come back, and they looked forward to the time, you know, just getting to hang out. We came back one week, and the police had hauled them off to get them out of the city. And we have no clue where they took them. Honestly, we'll probably never see them again. But we've continued to try to do outreaches on Saturday nights within that street market, just to different people, whether it's buying milk for babies, buying food for those that are hungry, or just sitting there to talk to somebody that's having a hard time. We've also, like I said earlier, had the School of the Bible that's going on there. School of the Bible, I teach usually the English language either a Tuesday or Thursday night. There are different levels, from beginner's English for the Brazilians to intermediate, which is guys medium level. And then we have the experts. And we have classes for all of those and teach the Bible to those that are interested in learning the English language. And like I said, we have seen great blessings in the past from those opportunities that we've put out there, and hope to continue to see more here in the future. That's a brief thing of what's going on. You know, when I start talking to people about Brazil, you know, programs are not the things that I'm passionate about. And if you were here when I've been here, you know that my passion is for people, to be one-on-one, to be able to communicate and talk about God, and just to be able to know each other. I want to tell you of just two people quick, and then I've actually got a lesson. Sorry, Oak. We've got Esmeralda. And before we moved to Brazil, Amanda's best friend in Brazil when she was growing up was Michele. Now, Michele's mom is Esmeralda. She had two older sons, and our two sons that are older than Michele and her husband. Her husband was put in jail after killing a man who raped her daughter, one of her daughters. The week that he got out of jail, died of a heart attack. 2 days later, her son, who's 26, died. But you'll never be around a woman who praises God more. Amazing things that have gone wrong in life, but praising God in spite of. Danielle's actually been teaching for me since I've been gone on Thursday nights. I've been sending him lessons that he can teach in Luke. And Danielle is about my age, probably about 29. He's married to Deliani. And Deliani is, about 28 as well. Her work actually brought her to Recife. They were actually from Rio and moved up about 3 or 4 months ago. And we're sharing on our Thursday night Bible studies about powerful testimonies. And we're talking about some people that had been punished because of their faith. And Danielle just sat there and said, you know, I was beaten by my father for being baptized. And to this day, my dad doesn't talk to me because of my faith in God. You know, we've all been, you know, I've had my share of beatings, you know, but not because of my faith. And he is the most passionate young man that we have at the work in Recife right now. Is so excited about working with youth and sharing his faith with them. It's just an amazing thing to see him when he lights up and he starts sharing about what God has done for him in spite of a family that rejects him. Turn your Bibles to Mark 5. Mark 5. We're going to continue. You know, one of the things that is encouraging to me is hearing a good testimony. You know, it's good. You know, one of the things I love about Upwards, you know, it was fun to watch the kids run around and, you know, hit each other. You know, that was a, but, you know, the thing that was amazing was at halftime hearing testimonies from brothers and sisters in Christ that, you know, when you're talking to them one-on-one, you don't really hear that side. You don't really hear what has brought them to where they are today. One of the amazing things about CR that's going on right now is people's hearts are being changed and people are opening up about hurts and letting go of things that, man, that have been holding them down for years. And you can talk to somebody that's been a part of those programs and see the blessings that they've had out of those. I'm going to talk about another man here in Mark 5. You know, I think it's funny, you know, Jesus, we just read in my opening about Jesus calming the storm and the disciples, you know, leaving to try to get some rest and to get away from the crowd. And they pull up on shore, and what do they see? A crazy man. A dude that has been restrained, you know, who's coming out of the tomb, you know, like yelling and screaming, you know, has broken chains, you can tell is cut and bleeding, and he's screaming at them. I can just imagine the disciples' reaction there. Oh, Jesus, wrong shore, dude. Let's go. This is the wrong place. We're not going to get any rest here. I mean, that's the most annoying alarm clock I've ever heard. But they sit there, and I think the amazing thing about this is listening to this man come up to Jesus. He comes up to Jesus. Let's look on. He says, verse 6, let's start in 6. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." It's kind of a weird thing. I mean, Jesus known for healing and being loving. We don't see Jesus as the torturer. But we go on to read, and we find out that this man, it's not just him and his body. He's not just a crazy guy. There's a reason that he's been crazy. There's a reason that things have been going wrong in his life. He said, then Jesus asked him, he said, "What is your name?" He said, "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs were feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission. And the evil spirits came out and went to the pigs. The herd was about 2,000 in number. They rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. It's kind of weird. I always wondered, this is one of the questions I have when I talk to Jesus one day, is why did they want to go into the pigs? But I think we get a kind of an insight of what Satan is trying to do to God's creation. And by any means, he wants to destroy it. Whether it's humans, as they were doing to this man, or whether it was pigs. All Satan is out after is destruction and to destroy. Those tending to the pigs ran off and reported this into the town and the countryside. Which, what do you say? You're one of the shepherds. You're one of the people that's watching this flock. Dude, they went wild and just ran into the water and killed themselves. And the people start coming out and are fearful of Jesus. Are actually scared of Jesus. because they see something that's been done that's amazing. And sometimes, you know, Jesus has been, we know him as the comforter, the healer. But sometimes Jesus is going to put down Satan, and it can be some scary stuff. Pull those demons out, to push them into pigs, and to see them running. The thing that I want us to focus on is moving on down into 18. And Jesus was getting into the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, and he said, "Go home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." So the man went away and began to tell how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. In Mark, we see the first appointed evangelist. Jesus telling him to go out and to tell of the mercy that God has just given him. As Paul would say, I am the chief sinner here. So there's a lot that I'm thankful for and that I praise God about. You know, some of us come in here today broken, having issues from this week, from this month, having issues that we don't want to admit, that we need to be healed from, that we need Jesus to come in and take out, that we need Jesus to change our lives. As I said earlier, some of the most powerful testimonies of those who have been broken and have been repaired by God's love. You know, it's funny how people want to hear stories about Brazil, but I want to hear what God's doing in your life. How are you praising God today? How are you taking what sins have been in your life and he's healed you and he's made you new? And how are you sharing that with your friends? How are you sharing that with your family? How are the people in Manchester changed because of your testimony? Remember, all these people knew this man. This guy that they just, you know, this dude's crazy. We leave him out there, you know, throw food at him. And they came back and they saw this man totally different. Clothed, number one, but totally calm. You know, the hard thing about a small town is people know who you used to be. Isn't that right? You know, it's funny when I go back to my old church. Oh, Justin, we remember when you used to. They can never see what you changed into. But God sees. And these people that you can come in contact with on a daily basis, hopefully they see who you are, not who you were. Are you living the life of an evangelist today? Here in Manchester, should we raise our hands and see who shared their faith this week? Justin, just say amen and let's pray. It doesn't take you to move to a foreign land. Some of you, it might take you to come up here and ask for forgiveness and praise God for what he's done in your life. Some of you, it might take just this week opening up to someone who's been hurt this week, that you know that same experience that they're going through, and saying, you know what, the one thing that helped me through that situation was Jesus Christ. Are we ready to share our faith. You know, money's great to have. I could have come up here and spent the whole time breaking down numbers of what we need financially. But what I'd rather see is you sharing your faith today. You sharing your faith this week. Not for numbers for this church, but for souls for God's kingdom. I'm going to give you the opportunity. It's kind of weird. You know, the good thing is I get to leave in a couple weeks, so, you know, if y'all get mad at me, y'all can just tell me on email. I'm going to ask the elders to come up here with me. Not to pray over me, but to pray over you. Some of y'all will need to come up here today and say that you're broken, that you need God to fix you. So your faith maybe needs to be restored. Or maybe so you can be a more powerful testimony this week. Some of y'all are holding back what Jesus has done in your life because you don't want to look different. I hope, my prayer for you this week is that you'll stand out. That people won't know who you are anymore because you're sharing your faith. The old you has changed. The elders come up here. If you physically feel like you cannot get up here, raise your hand and we'll have somebody come pray with you. We want God to heal you, and it starts today. We want you to share your faith, and it starts today. We want you to be more evangelistic, not for numbers, not for money, but for God's kingdom. Gentlemen, if you can join me up here. Do you mind leading us in a song, brother?
And weak, you are the truth.